Hi, everyone. Hey, this is Pam at the Paper Outpost, and this is the Paper Outpost podcast, The Joy of Junk Journals. And boy, have I got a topic for you today. Yep, I was just sitting here thinking, and I have a journal that is all packed up and ready to go, and I'm going to be going to the post office to drop it off personally and send it on its merry way. And I'm in the middle of cooking lunch before I go, so I thought I would pop on the podcast and have a talk about this topic. I kind of thought to myself, and I wonder if others think this too. Oh, there's Holly. Hello, Holly, practicing your smoke alarm sound. What happens to junk journals after we send them off to the universe? Let's say we gift them or somebody buys one. What really happens to those babies that we put all that love into? Oh, I think that we have lofty dreams that they're placed on fireplace mantles and with lights shining down upon them to pick up all the beautiful bling and glitter and almost like a museum piece. Or perhaps they end up on a coffee table as a centerpiece so that when people come to visit, they immediately gather around the beautiful junk journal that is on the table, and everybody is so curious and inquisitive as to what this glorious item is. Well, probably in reality, it may or may not be that. They may get put on a shelf or put in a box or leafed through and hopefully admired. But maybe, let's face it, they're a little big. They're a little clunky. They take up space. They can be used as door stoppers. They have many multiple purposes. But let's kind of think about what might happen to these babies as time goes on. And my best idea might be, in fact, what happens to my journals. And my journals have that I keep. I have a collection of my own personal journals that I've made. They're mostly my journals that I made earlier on, and they represent to me a lot of the learning that I did as I was trying to understand the best way that I could to make a journal. And so a lot of them remind me of that journey, but I originally stored them, put them on a table in my craft room, and eventually the table was full, and that's when I started giving them away and gifting them away and, silent auctioning them away to charities and things like that. And then they were coming because I was just a mad, passionate woman about making journals, and they were getting produced left and right. So then they took the little journey to a bookshelf. I decided to march my little buns over to Hobby Lobby and buy a bookshelf. I thought that was my answer. I was going to have this, it wasn't a floor to ceiling, but it was a tall bookshelf, and it had probably a good 4, 5, 6 shelves on it. And I figured that was going to take me a while to fill up. Well, it didn't. And my bookshelf filled up very quickly. Then, as I was still gathering more supplies, I realized that I needed that space on the bookshelf for my supplies more than I needed it to hold my journals. He's developed the astute ability to do the smoke alarm sound very well. So I needed the space for more supplies, more junk journal supplies. So down came all the journals from the shelves, and into a box they went. Yes, probably several boxes. And then they migrated up to my bedroom, into my bedroom closet, onto the top shelf. And I looked up at them in the boxes, and I thought to myself, oh my God. I'm never going to look at them. I'm never going to reach for them. I'm never going to see them. And I know I have so many ideas stored away in those journals that I might like to get inspired from occasionally. What am I going to do? This is awful. This is terrible. They're way up there. And they're never going to see the light of day again if I leave them up there. They're just going to become dust magnets. And this is just not feeling right. So I pulled them all down again. And this time I migrated them to my coffee table, which is an old Indian trunk and basically like an old cedar chest style. And I popped them in there, and all the ones that would fit, I popped them in there. And I thought, now if company comes over, I can retrieve a journal, and I could say, hey, you want to see something I've been working on, and show them that way. And yes, that does work, but it's still space limiting and time you say, hey, you want to see a junk journal, and you open up your chest, and there's, 200 of them in there. And then somebody says, oh gosh, I hope this is not like you're going to show me all your home movies. They're thinking that. They're not saying that, but they're thinking that. So you pull out one and you show them, and either they're intrigued or they're just head scratching going, what on earth? And that's fine. And that's dandy. But so that has been my experience with what happens to junk journals. Now, what I don't know and I can't imagine is what happens to the junk journals when I release them to the universe and they go off to other people's places. And, are they kept for the self, or are they kept, are they given as a gift? I don't know. I don't know what happens to them. Does a person go through them once and they're amazed, but then they're like, okay, I've already been there, done that. I don't really need to go through it again. Or do they like to leaf through and find little surprises that maybe they missed the first time? Or do they use it as a writing journal and maybe they remove a bunch of the ephemera so they can write on the blank pages more easily and that type of thing? Or is it just a lookbook? I love that phrase. I came across that not too long ago. A lookbook, something that you just admire and enjoy and just peek through every once in a while. Or maybe you show your mom, who might remember certain advertisements from certain days, or maybe you do. Or grandma, or maybe you want to show your grandkids, what things were like back then. And maybe you're using a lot of vintage stuff or vintage pictures. It doesn't even have to be real vintage ephemera, but just whatever you like. Maybe it's just a conversation starter, or maybe it just sits on the shelf. Maybe it sits in a box. Maybe it got moved to the bedroom closet on the top shelf. Maybe it got moved to the attic. Maybe it got moved to the basement. Oh. But I guess it's like that with any piece of art or crafting. Once you release it to the universe, you just have to let it go and just hope that it brings joy wherever it goes, and that it has a good journey and a good life, and it brings adventure and smiles and exploration. And yes, Holly, I hear you. I'm going in the other room. I have to leave my lunch for later. Oh, yeah, yep. Okay. So, let me give him a snack. That'll probably quiet him down. You want a snack? How about a snack? You want a snack? Yeah. Oh, you know what he really likes? They have these, maybe you've come across some of these cornbreads at Boston Market. You usually get one with every meal, with chicken dinner. Oh, sorry, Holly. I ate bird. I hate to tell him that. Okay, if I give him a little piece of cornbread, that's really what he wants, I'm pretty sure. Here you go. Here's your cornbread. He really likes it. Yeah, okay, there you go. All right, it doesn't get much. He gets a tiny little piece, but it keeps the little Beakorama quiet for 2 minutes. Okay, we're good. We're good. Okay, so, yeah, what happens after you release it to the universe? Who knows? Who knows? And then what happens in time? Let's say somebody enjoyed your journal, and they've marveled over it, and they've had so much fun exploring it and checking out all the little spots and interesting things and admiring the papers and writing in it and doodling and making art and all that kind of thing. And then it comes time, they get older, and, they pass away. And then there's this journal that's going to come across somebody else's hands at some point in time. Maybe the kids are going to inherit it. Maybe it's going to be sold in an estate sale. Maybe you're going to find it on eBay someday. Maybe it's going to be sold at a garage sale. Maybe somebody's going to look at it with new eyes thinking, wow, this thing is amazing. Look at the time, energy, and effort somebody put into making this. Oh my gosh, this thing is handmade. And it's such a treasure, blah, blah, blah. And who knows? I mean, it's different when you purchase something. It's different, like first time, like brand new, even though this stuff is often old, but it's new old, you know what I mean? And versus you found it at a garage sale, you found it at a flea market, you found it at an antique store, you found it like it's like second generation, third generation. The way we feel when we come across old vintage ephemera and cool stuff like that, that, oh, look at that. Look how they used to do things. What an unusual craft. What an unusual art piece. Is this what people used to do in their spare time? The concept, I don't know. It's a crazy thought to think about what people will do with our journals someday. I kind of think about how we may collect old ephemera, old vintage ephemera, old papers from Victorian times or later or earlier vintage times, doesn't matter, but things from another era. And to me, it's a sense of wonder and a sense of marvel and a sense of intrigue and interest, and I'm just fascinated by it. And I'm really surprised at how well the old papers have survived. Yes, some get a little crumbly, but often many are still intact and very good and readable. And it's fascinating holding something that somebody held a long time ago. And I don't know the level of expertise that people had back in the 1800s and such to keep their papers acid free and from falling apart and all that type of thing. But I know they probably did not have the way we have the ability to do that today. So I am hoping, even without great means of preserving our papers, that we can just have some fun with the regular papers of today and maybe hope in our hearts that these papers are going to be able to withstand the test of time. Just because of the way they're made and the nature of that they're made. Some will probably crumble. Some will probably fall apart. And maybe some won't. And I'm okay with that. I'm not personally designing a museum piece, but I would like to think it would be around for a little while. That would be kind of nice. And something that's to withstand the ages. I just want to have fun with papers, and sometimes there's nothing wrong with making a beautiful piece that will withstand the test of time. That's wonderful. It is more expensive and more time consuming just because of the nature of the products needed in order to make it archival. There's probably some simple tricks to doing it, but I think in the end, you kind of have to ask yourself, how are you going to spend your days? And you got to do what fulfills you and what puts a skip in your step and what allows you to have fun. And if you want to spend your time researching archival elements and what would make this piece of paper glued onto that piece of paper withstand the apocalypse, then have at it, go to it and have fun. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But for me personally, I just want to glue papers and put things together in fun ways that somebody else might find interesting or intriguing, and then get on to the next project, because I think variety is of interest to a lot of people in their crafting. They want to hone their craft, but they also want to try new things, experience new things, little condiments, a little shake of this, a little dab of that. Let's try this. We've never tried that before. Let's go for it. What the heck? It's only paper. And there is a sense of freedom in that, and I don't want to lose that sense of freedom. I want to have fun. The rest of life can be regimented and full of responsibility and all that fun stuff. But you know what? This little paper place, this little tiny area where, we're just gluing papers, I would like to keep free and easy. And I'm thinking maybe you might feel the same way, because maybe that's why you're listening to these podcasts or watching the YouTube videos. I think there are master journal makers out there without question. And I think that I hold them in high regard and high respect, and they certainly put a lot into their of effort and thought and into their process and their craft. And there's many ways to bake a cake, and they're all cakes at the end of the day. It just depends what kind of cake you want to bake. And so you got to have fun with your cakes, you know what I mean? And it's okay to have fun with your cakes. And let me see if he's still eating. I can come back out of the bedroom. Oh yeah, he's still eating it. Oh, good. Oh, don't drop it. Keep eating it, honey. those were my thoughts. Oh, no. I got to go hide in the bedroom again. those were my thoughts as far as what happens to those journals once we let them go. Oh, here's another place I could get stuck because I'm walking in the bedroom under the bed. Oh, there's a great place to stick a journal when, if you're like leafing through it. Maybe you're just going through a few pages at night, something like that, and you just pop it under your bed for quick retrieval as you go explore a little bit more. Or maybe it sits on your nightstand or on a little dresser or something. I have a multi-drawer dresser in my closet, and I put cute little things on top of it. And, I could easily put a journal here, that would be kind of cool. It kind of remind me of olden days and olden times and give me a little inspiration and things like that. I would like that. I don't know why I don't do that. Maybe because journals are everywhere else in the house. Probably. But I could do that. I could definitely do that. Bathroom, probably not. Just because it might be a little humid in there, might cause the papers to wrinkle, might cause the glue to give way. I don't know. Probably wouldn't put it in the bathroom, but let's see where else it could go. Living room? Yeah. You know, if you have one of those, I don't know, shelves or something in the living room, it could go there. I'd probably keep them away from pets. You know, if a pet nibbles on it, not too good for the pet, not too good for the journal. Keep it away from pets, out of pets' reach. You know, we use a lot of colorings and dyes and sprays and things like that, so I don't think it wouldn't be a good chew toy for a pet. Yeah, no. And so I'm all about chew toys lately because I am preparing myself. I'm feathering my little nest here for a newbie coming. Yes, 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 yes. I'm very excited. And I thought I'd share this with you that I'm getting another dog. I'm so excited. Just needing something to cuddle. And although I do love my Holly Bear very much, and he will always be my little man in the house here, he is not that cuddly. Yeah. And as his wings and his beak grow and his toenails grow, he's less cuddly because he's harder to hold on to. So he's actually due for a toenail trim and a wing trim and a little beak. I don't clip it, but it gets shaved down a little bit so he cannot pierce the skin as easily. Yep. So But he definitely has a good life here. He is, you know, able to cruise around and walk around during the day. I put him up at night, but he gets a good stretch, and he flies around a little bit. He'll go from high to low, like he'll climb up the lovebird cage and then he'll fly down to the ground, kind of like sails down. But now with COVID and all this, it's a little harder to, you know, I haven't really taken him back to the vet to get all trimmed up, and he's due. So we'll have to figure that one out. I don't know. But yes, okay, so there will be a little pup coming my way. It'll be a while yet. He's, you know, still, you know, he just came out of the cooker. It's going to be a little bit. But I'll keep you posted. But yeah, so I guess there's going to be another little noise to add to the zoo here. But yeah, not a good chew toy. A journal would not be a good chew toy. So, and I'm going to have to go, oh boy, this is going to change everything for me. I've been able to sprawl things out on my on my floor in the craft room, and that's got to come to a screeching halt again. That means everything back in its place, Pam. Everything off the floor. You can't leave anything down. And that is like one kind of good side benefit when you have a dog or something like that, that if you know they get into things, that you cannot leave stuff on the ground. No journal supplies. Mm-mm-mm. Everything is nibbling. Nibble factory. Yeah, that's going to change my life a lot coming up in a little while. So it'll probably be good. It'll probably, you know, make me keep my craft room clean and organized. And I just, you know, go to town when it comes to making a journal. I just want everything around me, like, and I don't even have, you know, I just start pulling things out like crazy because I get all excited with ideas, and I want a little bit of lace and a little bit of old ephemera and colors and little beads and buttons and everything, and I just gotta have it right close to me, and everything comes out, and I don't do it very gently, and like I said, it looks like a craft bomb went off. So right now we are back in craft bomb stage, as I have just finished a journal and I have just packed it up, and it is going to be sent to the recipient today. So, yeah. Where do those journals go? I think we just have to let them go free of heart and just trust that whatever journey that journal goes on, and it may have many because of the hands it may touch as it goes through time, will be a good journey, and it will fulfill its purpose, and whatever that purpose is what that purpose is. So I encourage you to, you know, if it comes to it, if you gift your journals or you sell your journals or you donate your journals, what have you, just release them and just wish them well, and just hope they do good things for others. So there you go, folks. I hope this was enjoyable. I always love hanging out with you guys, and thank you so much for all your encouragement and kind words, and I've got a lot of fun things coming your way, so stay tuned. There's going to be new things coming up in my Etsy shop. I'm kind of getting my head wrapped around Christmas coming and gift giving ideas and things like that. So I'm going to play around with some different things to put in the Etsy shop. And so keep your eye on the Etsy shop. You might see some new things pop up. I may put them on social media pre-announcements, or I may just pop them up in the shop. And we'll see how it goes. So happy crafting, everybody. Create with reckless abandon. Have lots of fun. And remember that there's lots of joy to be found in those papers. Take care, and I'll talk with you soon. Bye-bye.